Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Andy. And before we get started with today's episode, I wanted to let you know about RebateJet.com. What is RebateJet? Well, it's a piece of software that I created that will help Amazon sellers get their products noticed. You can launch with promo codes, rebates. Not only that, but you can list your product for free on the RebateJet third-party marketplace. You don't pay a single penny unless you make a sale. And when you do, it's only a $1 flat fee per product. Try it today, RebateJet.com.
Welcome to the Seller Roundtable e-commerce coaching and business strategies with Andy Arnott and Amy Wees.
All right. Yeah. Keep it coming.
All right. So I started talking about the P&L and the importance of the P&L. And, you know, we at Fortunate, we always say that the P&L is the first step of the negotiation. You know, at the end, this SD that we were referring to, your profit on which there will be a multiple, is the net, okay, the net profit, the net income before tax, but then you with the add backs, okay? And what are these add backs? What can we add back so that the SD will be higher? So we spoke earlier about the owner's salary, right? I mean, if you include it, you lose a lot of money. And then there are personal expenses, like the rent, or you just bought a car. That's something that you will add back to your profit. And then there's intellectual property, like trademarks and patents and copyrights. These are things that, you know, you do once, the buyer won't have them. Okay, so we're going to argue that that's not part of the expenses there. And then there are website designs, all the, you know, one-time things that are not relevant to the buyer should not be an expense that is counted in your P&L, okay? It should be added back. Masterminds, events, reduced cost of goods. So sometimes, for example, our clients let's say their supplier charge them $2, and then in the middle of the year they negotiated and it's $1.50. Okay, for the buyer, the next year they will pay $1.50. Okay, so sometimes we fight to have this $1.50 calculated for the entire year instead of like half a year $2, and then half a year $1.50. Okay. And then there are the reduction in tariffs. Sometimes, you know, you pay a certain percentage and then it goes down in the middle of the year. Same thing here. The buyer won't have that expense. We'll fight for that. So again, every dollar can be $5, $7. We have tons of examples around that. You know, people using here's an example. People using air freight. Okay, our client used air freight the entire year, and we calculated that if the client did not use air freight and use sea freight, then the expense would be probably around $100K per year. Okay, now, if you have a multiple of, let's say, 5 on that, it's $500K that you're negotiating here. It's a lot of money. So we're always thinking about this P&L. We're always thinking about adjustments. What can we adjust? How can we negotiate? If you were out of stock for three weeks, you know, because you didn't have the fund, that's not something that will happen to your buyer. So let's adjust that. Let's try. Let's negotiate that. If you had a suspension, let's try. So there are a lot of things to think about when you're creating this P&L. And, you know, sometimes as a lawyer, I help sellers with the, sometimes I always also help on the legal side, and I get the case when the deal is done, and I see that the seller has left $700K on the table. So I think that, you know, think twice before you just let the buyer prepare the P&L for you. And it's very important to negotiate every part of it. And if you're not sure how to do it, then obviously take a consultant that will help you with that, because they've been doing that, you know, for a long time, and they know exactly where to negotiate. So that's about the P&L, which is the first step of the negotiation. Now, another part that's very important, in our opinion at Fortunet, is the auction. So if, when you negotiate with one person, or even two buyers, or even three buyers, you can get to a certain point, right, between the three. But when you show your business to all the markets, to hundreds of buyers, the aggregators, the private equities, the VCs, the sellers, all the relevant buyers for your specific business, what you're going to get is a lot of bids. And then usually what we see is that all the bids are kind of similar. And then there's one or two for which the business is worth much more. And you want to get to that buyer, the one that for which the business is worth more. And sometimes the difference is just crazy. We had, you know, we had transactions where the difference was $2 million or $3 million. It's very important to make sure you speak, you know, everybody sees the business, not just one, not just two, so that you get to the maximum price. I'm going to talk about other ways to create value and kind of maximize your deal. Sometimes we're trying to think of creative ways to take up the values, and I'll give a few examples. When you have a growing business, and let's say you're selling in the toys category. Okay, at the end of the year, something very interesting will happen. It's Q4. Your sales are going up. The profit is going up, and you're gonna finish the year sometimes twice or three times what you know your profit is now. So, what we can do is to kind of form a projection, based on the numbers now and what we foresee for the end of the year. And then sell your business not based on the profit now, but based on that projection. Of course, it requires a very detailed one and very convincing one. And sometimes it requires you to stay in the business for some time, sometimes not. Sometimes there's an adjustment if it doesn't happen. But if you do it right in some of the businesses, especially the larger one, that is possible. Especially lately with the industry right now. So that's one type of way to increase the value. Another way is to reduce the number of SKUs. As we said earlier, you know, you may have a lot of SKUs, but if you and the SD is higher, but less buyers are interested in those. So what we do sometimes is we take down the number of SKUs. We lose a little from the SD, but then the multiples go up, and at the end, the value is higher. That's another way of thinking creatively about the value of the business. And another way is to integrate brands. We've done that several times, and it was interesting. There was an amazing feedback from the buyers of the industry. What we did is we took several businesses together from the same category, and we sold them together. And since we know that larger businesses get higher multiples, buyers loved it. The businesses, they sometimes they even compete with each other. So you as a buyer get more real estate on the first page, you can say. And so you integrate it. It attracts more buyers. And as I said, the multiples is higher, but you need to find the right partners. It's not always easy to get two people together, two owners of Amazon businesses together. So what we do is we set really clear rules, and we can already say which sellers are fit for that and which are not, and that's fine. They can we can sell the business separately. So that's something we've been doing in the last year. and has a very good feedback and takes up the multiple instead of your business, you and another together hire SDE, hire multiple. So let's talk about the deal structure for a second. We have, you know that cash is king, of course. I mean, you want to have as much cash as you can. But sometimes, especially larger businesses, you know, they're willing to stay in the business or to kind of, you know, to kind of bet on the success of their business in the future and get some upside from what's going to happen in their business. So in most of the cases, what, you know, buyers suggest is a certain percentage of cash, let's say 80% cash, for example. And then the rest can be divided, can be, for example, I'll give a few examples. It can be deferred payments, but guaranteed. For example, 10% of the payments will be paid in a year from now, and with interest. Okay, let's say a year from now with interest. Sometimes it's every quarter you get, you know, some of the payments. And sometimes this component will be an earnout, which is subject to stabilization, meaning that if you're, let's say, the buyer will say, I'll give you, you know, 10 additional percent if the business doesn't go down, doesn't start falling, or doesn't fall more than 10% from what it is now. So that they kind of, that's something to protect the risk of the buyer, of course. So that's based on stabilization. And sometimes there's a profit share. So we sometimes see, for example, you'll get a multiple of 4.5 now, and then you'll get 50% of any profit above the current SDE. So let's say your SDE, your current profit in the last 12 months was 1 million. If next year it's 2 million, then 500K go to the buyer and 500K go to the seller, okay? So that's something also that we see, like a certain percentage, let's say 4.5, 5X now, plus, you know, this kind of profit share, the split of the growth. So there are several deal structures. And as I said, it's very important to understand what they're offering you and how to protect yourself, you know, how to make sure that you actually receive the money. What happens if they, you know, you have this guaranteed payment in a year? What happens if the buyer doesn't pay it? So there are legal ways to kind of, you know, protect you so that it will happen. Let's say if it doesn't happen, the trademark goes back to you or something like that. So make sure you're protected and that you understand the structure and that it's the best structure for you. For us, I think that the structure is probably one of the best part it's the fun part of the transaction, thinking how to build it in the best way for our clients. The client has two products that have just been launched and we want to have profit from those because they weren't counted in the valuation. So we're thinking about how to structure it so that we will include those. So that's in a nutshell about the deal structure. So maximizing the value. We spoke earlier about a few things that can maximize the value. The smart P&L. We call it smart P&L, a P&L that, you know, with all the add backs and think about adjustments. We also tell the story of your business. We present the business in a business presentation that, you know, shows all the advantages of the business that also adds value. The auction that we spoke earlier adds value to the exit and takes you to the highest multiples, basically. And then there's what you do now before you sell the business. So while you're in the process or in the year before you exit, you know, done a lot of clients ask us, what should I do? Should I, you know, should I start selling in retail? Should I start a Shopify account? I'm going to sell it in 5 months. Should I start Shopify? Should I start this and that? I would say, I mean, don't just change your entire model just to get a higher multiple. Okay. So you heard that buyers like to have several channels. That's true generally, but if you have 5 months, it's going to be hard for you to, you know, to dive into the retail and or to dive into Shopify if you don't know what you're doing. If you have time, that's something else. But be very focused. If you have a short period of time, just be very focused on what you're doing and do what you do best. So, you know, if you're very good at launching new products and you do that all the time, then do that. If you're good at conquering new markets, you know, getting to Europe, getting to Canada, then do that, or just launching variations. Basically, do what you do best. If you have a short period of time, just be very concentrated on what you do and don't be distracted by other things. At the end, the buyer wants a healthy, growing account. So, you know, if you're going to neglect what you've been doing now and start a new adventure, the account will start going down. And we've seen that, unfortunately. So focus on your account and don't take crazy risk, you know, like filing false complaints against competitors or things like that. Not a good idea when you're selling the business. So just stay out of that. Don't take crazy risk. Just take the regular risk that, you know, you've been taking so far. So that's about, you know, the maximizing your value. So how should you prepare for the exit? What should you do? So, you know, I think that we've spoke about all the things that buyer want and what you do once you're in the process. I think that, you know, if you're starting the process in a year, it's a good time to start talking about it. So we, you know, when we speak with our clients, there are several things that we do together to make sure that they're prepared and they don't lose money. For example, we had a case now where, you know, we went with our client to their accountant, to their, you know, tax consultant. We spoke about their taxes and the tax consultant was about to, you know, to change the entire structure. And they didn't know that the client was going to sell the business. And we kind of stopped a kind of catastrophe there on the tax part. So very important to be in touch with your accountant. We had a case where the seller, you know, had a company in this country and they had a partner in another country, but the company itself, I mean, they one lived here, another lived there, and the company was in a third country. So we advised the client to go to one of the top four you know, accounting firms, you know, EY and Ernst & Young and all these PwC and all these companies. And then they built a structure and eventually they had to change the country. They actually moved for the sale. And they gained probably about $1 million just because of this change. So taxes are very important to start early. You'll need a good lawyer, so most consultants can refer you to good attorneys in the e-com space. It needs to be someone with experience in that space. Make sure that your IP is in order. So that's also one of the first steps we do is make sure that you're protected for all your products, but also see if we can, you know, if we can squeeze a patent there or a design patent, or if we can register copyrights to take up the valuation of your business. And then, as I said earlier, make sure you tell the story of your business. You show the buyers the all the strengths of your business and where you are compared to the competition, and that you tap the entire market. And I guess a last slide to finish, and of course, feel free to ask me if you have any questions. When's the best time to sell the business? That I think that's probably one of the most common questions we get. And we, you know, we spoke earlier about the growth part and how important it is. So you cannot wait until it stops growing. It's just less attractive. It's still sellable, but less attractive. So you want to sell it when it's growing. And then you should ask yourself a few questions to understand, you know, when's the right time. Like, do you want to grow to a larger team and to scale? So, for example, when you get to sometimes 6 million, sometimes 10 million, you kind of need to scale. You need more people. You can't handle it anymore. We speak with a lot of sellers. Sometimes they sell just because they don't want to deal with, you know, with a large team. Come in the morning and have 10 people to speak with. They prefer staying at home. So ask yourself where you are, if you're willing to scale. How do you feel with the risks of Amazon? You know, some sellers, they just, you know, they sell the business because they feel that it's Amazon and you can be suspended. So they're saying, I know how to build a brand. I will sell it. I will cash out. And then I will do it again. And it's actually interesting to see, because the second time it's so much faster. You have the funds, you have the knowledge. So you're doing it just like that in most cases. So we're seeing sellers after a year and a half getting to what they did in 4 or 5 years. So that's about the risk of Amazon. How do you feel about it? If you're okay with it, so you can continue, or, you know, if you don't sleep at night at all, maybe it's a good thing to sell it, to cash out, and then, you know, build the next business, the next brand with a different approach. You'll sleep better. So will you start a new business? You know, a few questions that you can ask yourself. What's the projection? Is it growing like crazy? So maybe you should wait a little or sell based on projection, like we said earlier. Or it's not growing that much. So it doesn't really matter if you wait or you don't.
This is one of the hardest decisions, I think, to make. Is, you know, you're torn between how much more can I grow my business on my own, right? And how much do I want to stay in it? I think that's another question, like you were saying. I mean, something that we're struggling with right now is we've recently started selling in retail, and we're thinking, okay, you know, in order to really grow in retail, we're going to have to change some things around logistically. Right. And that is going to be a lot of work. And it may just lead to more growth that we don't know if we want to manage. Right. So that's why we're working with you right now to just understand where we're at, where we could go, and really get a better idea of, to make an informed decision, because there's nothing wrong with putting the feelers out there when you guys are starting to think about selling your business. Like, even if you're a year out, for me, I was a year out. I was like, okay, I'm going to sell my business in 2022. But as I started going into some of these growth factors, I'm like, ooh, man, maybe it wouldn't be so bad to sell it now, you know? So I think it's all about what you want out of it. And if you've built something that is, I think what Boosted said on our seller roundtable the other day was there is never, it's like having children, right? There's never a perfect time. There's never going to be a perfect time to sell your business. There's never going to be a perfect time to, you know, it's never going to be perfect. And what he said was, you know, buyers expect there to be some stuff that needs to be worked through. So don't wait until you have everything all buttoned up and tied up and perfect. Would you say that?
Yeah, I agree. I'm thinking about myself. Like, I was with the first kids, I was waiting to be ready for the kid. Like, I was waiting. And this didn't come. So I just decided, okay, let's have kids.
Yep.
And the second time I knew I don't have to wait because it doesn't come. So I'll just, you know, do the second one. But I agree 100%. I think that... you know, you do need to think about your growth. And again, if you're growing like crazy, unless, you know, you get a value that takes into account your growth, then sometimes you may want to wait a few months.
But that's what's great about working with a company like Fortunet that can kind of break things down for you. And, you know, the story that you told me about somebody that came to you and you were able to help him clean up a few things because his PPC spend was pretty high, but you guys were able to help him clean up a few things and understand where those factors were that might prevent him from getting the most value out of his business. And, you know, that was like the highlight of your year, being able to help him sell his business as a young kid for multiple millions of dollars. So I think that it's really cool if we're thinking about selling our businesses. Number one, all of us can take this information today and put it in our brains and go, all right, we need to be thinking about these things as we're running our businesses, and how easy it's going to be for us to hand it off to someone else, number one. And number two, there's nothing wrong if you're even getting close to where you're even thinking about selling your business. Nothing wrong with reaching out to someone that understands that so that you can get an understanding of where am I at and where do I need to be and what are some factors, some levers that I can pull to have the most impact on my valuation, right?
Yeah, 100%. I think that, that's why we always, we started realizing very quickly at Fortune that we need to come in very early, because the first step is the strategy. And I think that a lot of sellers don't know, because they don't know the numbers. They don't understand completely where the profit is, if it's good or not, if something can be improved. So what we do is we start with the P&L. We start with understanding the numbers. And then we decide when's the good time. So the example you gave is, you know, the one where we started with the P&L and we sold the business actually a year later. But when we did that P&L and we started, we saw that, the seller was spending a lot on the PPC and something didn't make sense there. And, you know, we see, we're not geniuses, but we see that, you know, something it was wrong there compared to other businesses. So he eventually sat with my partner for like 3 days. They changed the PPC strategy and the profit went up from 18% to 26%. A year later, he sold that business for over $20 million. And, you know, just calculate how much does 8% mean. So sometimes just by, you know, looking at your business, nothing more, just looking at your business, things come out. And as I said earlier with the taxes, sometimes we started with our regular steps, right? The P&L, the taxes, the IP, the compliance, all those things, you know, to kind of prepare, and crazy things happen like the taxes where we save $1 million just by that. So, I think there's not much to lose by starting early.
Definitely. Because then if you can identify those things, you can really get after them. I know, you know, I do have a bookkeeper, but my bookkeeper she's not in the business of selling businesses. She's in the business of keeping books for Amazon sellers, right? Which she does a great job at that. But I need to be able to look at my P&L from a perspective of selling it. So that's where companies like Fortunet come in. So speaking of that, before we sign off today, who should come to you? Like, who is the ideal customer for Fortunet, and how do they do that?
So any seller with a revenue usually above $1 million that is considering selling the business in a year or more or now, but anywhere in the coming year. The sooner the better. Even a year and a half, start talking now. And the way is just, you know, by email, Facebook, or, you know, whatever is easier, through our website, it's fortunet.net. We're very available and always happy to talk, even if it's not relevant now.
Cool. Yes, I completely agree. You guys are very responsive. You're awesome. It's so great for people to have this knowledge. I know me as a consultant, I'm looking forward to working with you because I want to learn more how I can help my clients prepare their businesses for sale. And now I'm going through this process myself. And so it's so good to learn, you know, what do we need to do and how do we prepare? Because we always want to begin with the end in mind. And so if we are wanting, even if we're not wanting to sell at the end, it's still good to know our numbers and know what makes a profitable, awesome business. So Thank you so much, y'all, for your time today and for helping us understand this. And thanks, everyone, for being here. We appreciate you so much. I know a lot of our listeners are going to be catching the replay because, you know, our guys on this Australia side are just waking up probably in about an hour here. But yeah, I know everyone's going to really enjoy the replay today. And thank you all for being here. Thanks, y'all. Any final words before we sign off?
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure. And I'll see you soon in person.
Yay!
Very excited about it.
Me too. All right. Bye, everybody. Bye, we'll see you soon.
Thanks for tuning in. Join us every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for live Q&A and bonus content after the recording at sellerroundtable.com. Sponsored by the ultimate software tool for Amazon sales and growth, SellerSEO.com and AmazingAtHome.com.